No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
I'm pretty sure we take a right. Welcome to Watch Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd on all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse.
And welcome back, everybody.
Woo.
We have another special episode
Hoot.
For you guys. And
holler.
Hooten holler. We're hooting back into the holler. Those dang country roads keep taking us back home to West Virginia.
And Hicksploitation.
And Hicksploitation. We're talking about Wrong Turn 4 today, everybody.
Yay!
Yeah, we like to talk about this the series on the show, and I don't know if everybody else is into it, but goddammit, we love it.
Absolutely.
We love us some Hicksploitation, we love us some Wrong Turn, so we're gonna keep trucking through this series.
Truck trucking.
All right, announcements. Do we have any announcements for this week?
No.
Okay, I have an announcement. I forgot to do the poll. All right, Wrong Turn 4. This movie went straight to DVD.
What?
Straight
what?
To DVD.
What?
Nope. It released October 25th, 2011. We watched it on our digital copy. We actually don't own this on DVD. But you can buy the 5-pack if you want to watch it. Or you can just rent it from one of the following options: Apple, Amazon, YouTube, or Vudu. This movie was written by Declan O'Brien. It was also directed by Declan O'Brien. And we found out last night while watching this movie.
He passed away 2 years ago, almost to the day. It was actually February 16th, 2022.
Which
we watched it February 16th.
Yeah, so we ended up actually watching this on the anniversary of him passing, which is unfortunate. He had some good contributions to horror here. He had the Wrong Turn entries. He did Joyride 3. I can't think of anything else, though.
Those are the ones that get the most play in our house anyway.
Yeah, right, because we like both of those series. They're both good.
Yeah.
All right, music was done by Quad Voicy, and special effects was done by Dilated Pixels and Cameron Patterson.
Okay.
Dilated Pixels did the special effects, like the visual computer effects.
Oh.
If that makes sense with the pixel part.
Okay.
And Cameron Patterson did the actual practical stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how that breakdown goes.
Okay. Cast. Starring Victor Zinc Jr. as Kyle, Ali Tataran as Warren, Dean Armstrong as Daniel, Tara Vanessa. It's spelled V-N-E-S-A. I think Vanessa is how you might pronounce that.
Okay.
I could be wrong. She plays Jenna. Caitlin Lieb as Bridget. Tanika Davis as Sarah. Jenny Padovic as Kenya. Sean Skeen as Vincent and Three Finger. Dan Skeen, Bubby of Sean Skeen, as One Eye.
So Vincent got two roles?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess we know who the golden brother is in that situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Scott Johnson is Sawtooth.
Okay.
All right.
And these are the older versions of their characters, correct?
Yeah, I didn't credit the kid versions because we did have three of them that are 9, 8, and 10.
Yes.
I think. Yeah, that's their age in the opening of the movie, but I ran out of room. There's a lot of people. This is a big cast as it is.
Yeah. And you don't get some of their names until the very end.
Exactly, yeah. It's hard to keep up with some of them. All right, Jesse, time to play our favorite game.
Budget
or Bugtead?
Definitely Bugtead.
Yeah. So this movie is, in fact, Bugtead. This movie had a budget of $2 million.
Wow.
Yep. Did not go to the box office, so we don't have an opening box office, but I do have the worldwide gross for what it made on Blu-ray sales and DVD sales.
And digital media sales.
Well, yeah, I guess that, yeah. That was $3.6 million, but it was noted that it also released as cable rentals and on streaming, so that part of the profit is not in the equation, so it did make more than that overall. IMDb score is 4.5 out of 10.
You know, it's better than I thought it was going to get, so.
You thought it was going to be lower than 4.5?
Not for me, but.
But for other people?
Yeah.
See, I feel like people generally look at this one and they're like, yeah, It's not that bad.
Okay.
You know, I think everybody recognizes, like, wow, it did a lot better than it should have.
Okay.
And you would think that would, like,
yeah.
You think that that would inflate the rating, right? You don't think people would be shitting on this thing.
But... I don't know. Some people on IMDb take their role as, like, a user reviewer really yeah. seriously.
It's like,
a,
yeah, they actually, they think it's like auditions to become, like, an actual movie critic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Trying to be the next, Roger Ebert.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Notoriously hated horror, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of interesting interactions with directors out there. Okay, so I have a theme for three movies I picked for 2011.
Okay. I don't remember much about 2011, so I am curious to hear what theme you have.
Well, these are all going to be mostly forgettable, except for, I think, one you're going to be a fan of.
Okay.
The theme for this is direct-to-DVD sequels.
Okay, I do actually really enjoy that theme.
First movie... Hellraiser Revelations.
Okay. I've never seen that one.
Oh, boy. I think that this might be one of the most hated in the entire franchise. So they made this movie purely
for
the sole reason to retain the rights of the franchise. So it was shat out there real quick.
Okay.
It had a budget of $300,000. It was released October 18th, 2011. Don't have the gross on it. No money reported. IMDb score, 2.7 out of 10. I have a quote from Clive Barker. It's actually a tweet from him. It's on the Wikipedia page. They just took a screenshot of his tweet and was like, this is what Clive thought of this fucking
shit.
Oh,
boy.
Clive Barker has to say, I have nothing to do with this fucking thing. If they claim it's from the mind of Clive Barker, it's a lie. It's not even from my butthole.
I'm gonna start using that. This is not even from my butthole.
I love how he's just so pissed off that they continue to make Hellraiser movies. That's like straight up hatred right there. Okay, next movie. Hostel Part 3. Yeah, you were speaking all kinds of good about this movie last week.
I loved that movie.
Yeah, well.
I am aware that's not a popular opinion.
I will say it is the highest rated movie out of all of these movies that we are talking about here, including Turn 4.
All right. All right.
Okay, Hostel Part 3 released
is it
December
11th. 4.6.
It is actually 4.6, 0.1 higher than Wrong Turn 4. Okay, Hostel Part 3 released. Hostel Part 3 released December 11th, 2011.
Christmas gift to us all, truly.
Yeah, truly. Everybody wanted that one for Christmas. All the children.
I did.
I asked my mom and dad for it. I was like, Mommy, Daddy, I was in college. Give me Hostel Part 3.
I'm pretty sure I watched this over Christmas break that year. So.
Did you?
Pretty sure.
Really? Did you actually watch this back then?
Yeah.
I thought we watched this for the first time together.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you've just been like a diehard Hostel Part 3 fan
from the beginning.
Wow. That's impressive. I wouldn't admit
Ride
that.
Or die.
All right. Had a surprising budget of $6 million.
Good for them.
They saw the potential.
They did.
Worldwide gross. Don't have it. Straight to DVD.
Straight to DVD, yeah.
But I didn't even get the physical media sales of it. And as discussed, IMDb 4.6 out of 10.
Okay.
So it is the highest technically.
This is coming on the show, y'all. It will be happening. Don't worry.
We're going to have to talk about this one. Final movie, direct-to-DVD sequel from 2011 is... It's one we own, actually.
Okay.
We've never watched it.
Is it... Let me guess. Is it one of the Puppet Masters?
It is not.
Oh, okay. No.
I'll give you one more guess if you want to guess.
Give me a hint.
It is a it's a killer something that shouldn't be killing something. Like it's not your typical, it's not a person. It once was a person. But now it is something else. It's a person of some sorts.
Oh, is it one of the Ginger Dead Man
sequels? It is. It's Ginger Dead Man 3. Ginger Dead Man 3, Saturday Night Cleaver.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I hope there is so much disco action in that.
We gotta watch it, man. We do. We own this one. I just don't think we've ever actually watched it.
Isn't that reason. Like with all of our Puppet Master DVDs? No. Like, don't, I thought we had like a 16-pack of all of the
Gentle Deadman and Puppet Master. We got all the Puppet Masters on DVD. This is part of like our weird like Blu-ray pack. It has Killjoy 3 on it also.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of weird movies. Apparently all Full Moon, I guess. But that released September 13th. Don't have the budget, don't have the gross. But the IMDb score is 3.7 out of 10.
Okay.
All right. Got three taglines.
Okay.
No tagline on the poster. So we're just kind of going with the order that IMDb. Yeah.
Internet Movie Database.
Yeah, yeah. All right. First one. These hillbillies are going crazy.
Crazy.
That's so lazy, man. These hillbillies are going crazy.
It's also kind of like not super sensitive, but granted, none of this movie really was. So it's
about hillbillies.
About
crazy.
I hate that term.
I know you hate it. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one. I kind of like this one. Screaming only makes them hungry.
Sorry, all I can think of is Zoe, because she screams when she's hungry.
She kind of does feed off of the screaming. Maybe Zoe's a cannibal. It just makes you
food!
Laugh. You're getting tired. You're working up your hunger by doing that. All right. The final one's actually my favorite, and it's because it's like a fucking mess. I don't think that this is like... I think somebody attempted to type it correctly, but they're wrong.
Okay.
Frosts are not the only thing bites.
Oh, I think that was somebody trying to translate something. Frost is not the only thing that bites. I like that.
I get that. That is good. Yeah, but I also like reading it as frost are not the only thing bites.
So I know on Party Pingo they have a paranormal occur, but there was something we watched last weekend that they had another similar type thing.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think that that's like a translation thing. I think it's just people doing typos, which I think that's what happened here with this one. I think somebody just wrote it wrong. They got too fast. They got excited. Maybe they just pitched their own tagline there and that, like we do.
Maybe.
Fun facts. All right. So, this movie was shot in 19 days in an actual abandoned mental facility.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, it was Brandon Mental Health Facility in Manitoba, Canada. All of the actors are actual Canadian actors.
Yeah, well, they're Canadian slipped some at certain points. So.
I didn't ever catch it.
Especially the little one, Jenna, I think her name is.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Hers came out a couple of times.
So it was abandoned back in 1999. It opened in like 1890.
Okay.
And inside of it, it included all of the original equipment, 250,000 square feet, 4 floors, original shock machines and all.
Holy cow.
Yeah, like they fucking just straight up left that place. They did not pack any of it up. That stuff was just creepy. Out there.
That's scary to think about what happened.
Yeah, well, apparently it was just like... That building, I was reading some of the history on it. It seemed to have like a really troubled history. Like it completely...
A lot of those types of places do have like a troubled history.
It completely burned down at one point and they had to like rebuild it. Yeah. So I don't really know what caused them to abandon it in the 90s, but yeah. And it was scary for them there. I was reading an interview with Declan O'Brien, and he was telling a story of how he got creeped out walking through the hallways there, because they all stayed there while they were shooting it. And apparently he had, like, each floor, he had, like, a room set up where he would just work on the movie, throughout the night. And apparently, like, he would, like, have his director headphones on, and he was walking down the hallway by himself with a flashlight. He still had his headphones on. And then he heard somebody, like, whisper, I guess through, like, one of the mics downstairs, like, "Where is he? Is he here?" And, like, he jumped up and just, like, threw his headphones off. And, yeah, like, apparently, like, it was just as creepy as it looked in the actual movie to be there.
I guess that's why it looked so authentic. And that's one of those things, too. And I was thinking about this when we were watching Video Violence last week.
Yeah.
That, like, a home that's cluttered for a movie versus a home that's, like, actually lived in cluttered is very different. It's hard to replicate that.
Yeah, you can't emulate it.
Yeah, and that did look authentic for like an abandoned hospital.
See, I think that that's one of the things about this movie that makes it kind of stand out, like as surprisingly good as it is, because it had that right there. It had an awesome setting right from the get-go. And they didn't have to stage it.
If they're in Canada, that snow was probably real too.
It was real, yeah. Whew. They mentioned that, yeah. Okay, so this is actually the first entry in the series where nobody survives other than the hillbillies.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird? And then I tried to think about it. I was like, does it happen in the later ones? And five, everybody kind of dies. One person is like,
it's
kidnapped.
Pretty clear what's going to happen to
die.
Her.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to die eventually. Six, I can't even fucking remember. I think one guy stays there to become a part of them.
Yeah.
That's how six ends, God
it
forbid.
It ends with, you know, the incest in the films has always been openly talked about but never seen. One of the few instances in movies where tell, don't show is a little bit better.
Where we actually, you witness.
But in six, no. Yeah. They're like, hey, this is his sister, and he's going to fuck his sister.
Yep, that's pretty much
what they're doing. Yeah.
They did Halloween 6, but, like, didn't show that part. Like, they showed the part that Halloween 6 didn't show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still want to know how Michael knew about sex. That's more upsetting to me than the driving. Anyway.
I don't even want to go into the details of how that might have happened. I don't want to think about that. Kills and special effects on here were mostly practical.
Okay.
They had some touch-ups. Like, you know, you could see fake blood. Like, I could see CGI blood pretty
well. And, like,
blatantly.
We had a lot of beheadings, and those heads were definitely, like, those were practical heads.
They were practical heads with, like, you could see whenever, like, that girl gets decapitated with the noose, the barbed wire noose, that, like, they used a lot of digital effects to kind of pretty it up, which I think it kind of hurts.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion, just like go full practical. It always looks better. That computer graphics stuff doesn't normally age too well.
Yeah.
And this already seems dated like over 10 years later. All right. And the final thing is in that scene where he had her get decapitated by the barbed wire noose, he describes that scene as Carrie times 10 because of the amount of blood that they had to use in that scene. Apparently with Kyle, that I guess that was the guy that like is trying to pull her down and gets all that blood on her. They were trying to figure out how to like keep like how much blood to put on him to keep it with like continuity whenever they're doing multiple shots. And he just told him to pour an entire bucket of blood all over him. Just like keep doing it. Soak him in it. That way it's easy to do. So in that shot, he's just completely covered in red the entire time.
Okay.
So yeah, those are my fun facts.
Okay.
You ready to talk about it?
I'm ready to talk about it.
All right. Well, it's your turn to kick it off. Jesse, what did you like about Wrong Turn 4?
As far as prequels go, which, I mean, of course, we had to figure something out. We obviously weren't going to be picking up where we left off unless we wanted to leave Three Finger, One Eye, and Sawtooth in the past. Because they all died at the end of 3.
Actually, they all died in 1. 2 is a new family. 3 is just Three Finger and...
Yeah, yeah.
Three toe. And then
three
finger.
Three
dies.
Toe. Yeah.
Three
yeah.
Fingers actually alive in 3.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, obviously if we were gonna have the original Bubbies back together, we're gonna have to go back in time.
Yeah.
And so I thought that's a way to do it. It kinda helps you like avoid having to worry about like continuity issues depending on how far back you decide to go. And I thought really having like the single location setting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I really love that. We have groups of horny teens and we have plenty of lesbian representation. And I think that's interesting. It definitely borderlines fetishy at times.
They're just very,
but
like,
it's an exploitation
sexual.
Film. Yeah. So like I kind of go back and forth with it because I'm like, well, they're college students and they're all, you know, sucking and fucking, if you will. And so I like that the lesbians got to do that, too. And then I felt like there were some interesting like nods to other movies here. It was funny when you mentioned Carrie for that beheading scene, because we get that shot of Kyle afterwards where he's covered in blood and something about like his face just being pure red, the way his hair is all stringy and that like wide-eyed mania of what's happening to him in that moment is reads very Ash Williams.
You see? Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Wow, that's like almost exactly like that shot.
Yeah. I should mention yeah, and that. It's yeah. like if you go to the IMDb page, it's like one of those that's like at the top in the header. So if you haven't, if you aren't able to recall the image I'm talking about, definitely go check that out on IMDb because it's...
That's probably the best shot in the entire movie, honestly. I love that so much.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just have, and I also just, I have a lot of fun with it. It knows not to take itself too seriously. I think this is the lane that Declan O'Brien O'Connor lives in very well.
Declan O'Brien O'Connor. No, that's his Joyride
name. I think this is the lane that he lives in very well.
He did a great job with this type of stuff.
And, you know, like I said, there are so many characters and you don't learn all of their names, but these movies are meant to just kill people off and be nasty and over the top. And you just need a bunch of horny teens and young adults to do that with. So that's what you get with this movie.
Okay, I like all the things that you said there too. I appreciate his attempt at like keeping it going fresh, like, you know, prequel. It's not exactly the most original idea, but he mentioned in one of his interviews that he was trying to, like, every single one of them has been different. They've all been in a different setting. They've all been around different characters. Mm-hmm. So like having them in a snowy environment in like a giant, like, abandoned hospital is actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Although they are going back to the original three, but I think that that's cool because I feel like we didn't really get a lot of time to explore the other two. We've had plenty of time to explore Three Finger, and it's because he's the most popular, obviously.
Yeah.
But I liked, getting to see the other two. And I guess it's interesting that they're, like, introducing their unique abilities in this one because we don't really... None of them have really had unique abilities before, but this time, like, they, like, actually, like, listed off. It's almost like we're watching, like a superhero movie where, like, we're, like, going to be following the villains, like Suicide Squad. Like,
well, it's kind of like at the beginning of Funhouse Massacre when he's going through all of the different people in the jail.
I thought a lot about Funhouse Massacre.
That's not even a jail either. That's also a sanitarium.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's almost the exact same opening except... And this one, they bust out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I really liked about this one is I feel like they stepped up the camera work a lot in this one. They had, like, a lot of fun with it, which I think is kind of cool. I guess it's because, like, the environment that they were in, too. But, like, I think a lot of that one shot where we already talked about where he, like, pulls her down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her head's right here, and then the camera, like, all in one take, flips all the way over, and you see his face, and he just screams. And then I think of the opening when all of the patients escaped, and they're all just kind of, like, running around the hospital doing their own thing. I like the way that the camera moves around and follows the different people, especially that shot with one of them taking the girl in the wheelchair and wheeling her into the room. And just, like, banging it up against something. It was really well done. I liked it a lot. But, yeah, other than what you said, like, you know, those are the things I really liked about this one. I really like it, honestly. Like, it's a pretty solid entry. And I feel like people overlook this one sometimes because, you know, everybody's like, oh, two's the best sequel. And then they kind of write off the rest. But, like, I don't know. Like, we'll get four. Four's pretty solid, honestly.
If I am being honest in my heart of hearts, this is my favorite of the franchise.
This is my favorite sequel of the franchise. I kind of thought you would go with number two for your favorite. That's it's what everybody is.
4-2-1 for me.
Yeah, mine is...
Three, I always forget what it's actually about.
I like
five, three. Has Doug Bradley. Six, I could have done without ever seeing.
Six is terrible.
Five, six is awful.
Five is pretty bad, but, like, it's an enjoyable watch bad. Doug Bradley trying to do a country accent, and then his British, like, slips out all the fucking time. It's one of the darkest endings, too. It's so fucked up.
It really is.
It's a fucked up movie.
It's the thing that really pisses me off about that one is you can tell it's too low a budget for the premise they set up for themselves, because we could have had so much fun with the festival setting.
I know.
But like instead, it's all in a jail cell.
It's a ploy to get an entire town out of the town. That way you can have a town built on a stage set.
Yeah.
And
and it's not weird. Like, yeah, you don't have to hire all of the extras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, these people can run hooting and hollering down the streets and nobody's going to bat an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What are the bad things about this movie?
Okay. So, the opening takes place in 1974. Three. And then 1974.
Yeah, you're right.
And then we cut ahead 29 years to 2003, because that's when the first movie takes place.
Yeah.
So that time jump makes sense. That's 29 years, which means that Three Finger was the child. Three Finger is credited as being 8 years old on IMDb. Mm-hmm. So that means that at this point he is 37 years old.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that 57-year-old looking man is 37 years old. They all look way too old for what their actual age is. And I wish they had just like let them be older.
Just let them be older.
In the flashback, or set the flashback farther.
Yeah, I guess I don't really understand why they had to be kids.
Yeah. Also, their facial hair is very... Their body hair in general is very inconsistent. Because the oldest one, Sawtooth, he's got an appropriate mountain man beard.
Yeah, he does.
But Three Finger is bald on top, which happens to 37-year-olds. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I am saying he's got plenty of other hair sprouting out the sides.
It's all white.
Yeah.
But Steve Martin, he was white in his early 30s.
That's true.
Yeah.
He still has a very full head of hair, though.
Hey, man, sometimes you lose your hair and you have white.
But
hair.
I'm just saying, he's got no facial hair whatsoever. So I was going to say that implies that either he can't grow facial hair, he can only grow like head hair, but not over his entire head, or he shaves. I don't know. There's a lot of questions I have. And this is the whole like the Friday the 13th part 2 thing where I'm like, why does he have a broken toilet in his house that he built out in the woods?
He only can grow facial hair, but he wants actual hair, so he shaves off his facial hair and puts it on his head.
That means he's making the choice to have the Three Stooges curly look.
Well, he saw Three Stooges back at the sanitarium, and he's like, I want to be that man.
So, yeah, anyway, that's bad mostly because I have to start doing math in my head, and then I start wondering about things, and it leads me to wondering about other things, and I guess it's not really necessarily a fault of the movie. It's just, I think maybe math wasn't done when they wrote back how far the flashback scene was and how young the kids were meant to be. Because also, I wouldn't have thought that they were 8, 9, and 10. No. At first, I was like, okay, well, maybe like 15, 16, 17, like in my head, because they did refer to them as kids. And I was like, okay, maybe, you know, that's a little bit more reason. Anyway.
But they're the only children there, too. Everybody else is adults.
Yeah, which is also not how those types of facilities tend to work. So, anyway, that's what was happening in my head.
Yeah.
And it distracted from the movie, so that's bad.
The entire time you're thinking about this.
I really was, because I, like, when we see Three Finger, and I was like, well, he looks as old as he ever has. And I'm not saying that, like, 50-something is old. I'm just saying it's a lot older than 37, which is what the movie is now canonically saying he was.
Right.
And also, here's the other thing. That means they are at least trimming their hair some. So how are they doing that? I want to see, like, a day in the life, you know? Like, MTV Cribs style of them in this prequel setting.
That would be... No, I'm thinking... Like, that right there would be a groundbreaking documentary that would be played at the festivals.
Right?
It'd be a hit.
Yes.
Following the hillbillies from West Virginia and watching them eat people.
Yeah, I just, like, I want to see, I want to see it.
I want to
see how they're, like, because clearly they are doing some form of grooming. You know what I mean?
Dream sequel.
That's my dream sequel. Yeah. Is I want MTV Cribs.
I want it to be like a mockumentary, like a
a Leslie Vernon type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want it to be something like that, where they actually are interviewing the hillbillies and they can't.
No, I don't even care. Like, we've seen enough of their cannibalism. I get how that works. We've seen their traps that they set up. We know about truck. Like, we've got all of that. I just want to know, like, the minutiae of their daily life.
You just reminded me of something. just by saying but like I know how cannibal by saying I know how cannibalism works because I forgot from one of my fun facts apparently they like released with this as a promotional material like a cannibal cookbook.
Oh
yeah, I guess mostly because of that scene where they're doing like the fondue as Jesse calls it.
That was my other thing that I thought, like, feels like a weird kind of a wink and a nod because they're cannibals and they kill Daniel by pulling out his liver. And I'm like, you can't tell me that's not a Hannibal Lecter, like, wink and a nod.
I didn't even think about
that. I wish that, like, in the background we'd seen, like, an industrial size can of, like, fava beans or something, you know?
That would be great.
Yeah.
Apparently that was, like, one of his favorite parts of the movie. He thought it was hilarious, actually. Like, to him, he thought it was funny because they're making fondue out of him and people are outside taking a vote of whether or not to save
him. Yeah, like, he's not dead yet.
Yeah,
and
I know.
They're like, he's a goner. And he's like, no, I'm still alive.
And apparently that's how Daniel's actor, see, what was his name? Daniel, where are you? Dean Armstrong. That's how he got his part, is they needed a good screamer. He's okay. A good screamer.
I referred to him in my notes as Beck Bennott.
Beck Bennott. He is not Beck Bennott. Okay. More bad. I thought that Three Fingers looked pretty fucking terrible makeup applied wise. You know what I mean?
Well, it's... oh, God. What is the original actor's name? He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's the guy in Urban Legend.
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't remember his name.
And he's also in a quick throwaway scene in Saw 4.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And Dean Armstrong here. He's going to be in next week's movie. He's in Saw 3D. What? He is in Saw 3D. I know. I had no idea either.
Is we'll he one of the him. Ones in the front in the beginning with the seesaw buzzsaw?
No, I don't think so. He might be.
I think he could look good in a little wooden Dutch boy coverall setup.
He would look fantastic in that. But the thing is, I think that the point of that is that it was supposed to be high schoolers. And I was reading an interview from him, and apparently he is, like, older.
Oh, his age is just as questionable as Three Fingers in those movies.
Well, he even admitted it. He was like, yeah, like,
I said, who is this chaperone coming with him on their weekend ski trip?
He got into acting a little bit late.
I'm not mad at him for that. It is just the unfortunate reality that with a lot of horror movies, they went, like...
They couldn't... Look, man, it takes age and experience to get a scream somebody that is being turned into fondue that is believable.
Yeah. Okay, we need to get back on track. What is your bad?
Well, Three Fingers looks like shit. Okay. It looked like he was wearing a mask half the time.
I think him and
I looked a little bit out. I saw some of the behind the scenes footage and it looked like it was actually stuff that was applied. I just think that having him play one of the kids there too, like one of the students, kind of spread them a little bit too thin of having to get him in costume for that and then also Three Finger.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the other two looked fine, I thought. The only other bad thing I have for this is that we don't have any arrows. And this is the only movie in the entire franchise, apparently, that has no arrows.
Even the remake has arrows. It has no hootin' and hollerin', which I think is more egregious, but...
Yeah, if you're going to remove one, remove the arrows. I'm more okay with that. Hootin' and holler is just part of the DNA of the series.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted at least some arrow action. Like, you know, when they're out there on the snowmobiles chasing
Travis is down. From Appalachia. He can confirm that hooting and hollering is a part of the culture.
It's just kind of how we do. It's kind of how we speak. Okay, ugly. What is ugly about this movie?
Oh, definitely the way they talk about people that need mental health facilities.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, derogatory language thrown around, which I understand once they start murdering their friends, because you just start insulting people at that point. That's fair. It's more like when they're, like, reading through the files, and they're like, you're a freak! Freak! You're a freak! And I don't... Sometimes people are sick, and sometimes you're sick in your head instead of in your body, and yeah. I don't like it that it's... It's such a thing that our society really needs to... It feels like it's getting better in some ways, but we still have a long way to go in terms of, like, being open-minded about, like, mental health and, Yeah.
It is kind of nice, though, thinking, like, this was as recent as 2011, and 2011 is becoming further and further away. Like, it's been 13 years ago, which is really fucking weird to think
about. This movie has just entered puberty.
Yeah.
This movie is spending 45 minutes in the shower.
His voice is starting to crack a little bit, just a tad. But I think the progress from how people handle it compared to this movie to now is pretty solid, honestly, for a decade. I guess I gotta agree with you. I can't really think of anything else.
I mean, we've talked plenty about like the exploitation of it all in the past three movies, so I don't feel like we really need to talk about it in this one so much.
It's not as egregious in this one, I don't think. Like, sometimes I like how it's kind of like understood by everybody, like, how are they so powerful, how are they so strong? Well, they're inbreds and they're hillbillies. Oh, okay. That makes sense. From the West Virginia.
West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It's definitely one of those that, like, they've just kind of leaned really hard into it after the first one. The first one was meant to be like, oh my God, people like those are really out there. And then after that, it was like, no, this isn't real. So we're just going to be as stupid as fucking possible with it. And I think that's how you get a good, dumb, fun movie like this.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, absurd.
I'm going to say the party scene when they first get there, because it takes them a little bit to get going. And I think Declan O'Brien O'Connor was definitely like trying to get them like loosened up. I wouldn't be surprised if he gave them like actual scotch, because by the end when they're racing each other in the wheelchairs, I think that was legit.
I think
he was having them improv that whole scene, though. Also, them just like sucking and fucking in the dorm room together. Like,
you think that's absurd or real?
That's absurd.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my second absurd. Sorry, when I said also, that's what I meant.
No, they were just having a full-blown orgy in there.
Well, and if that's the case, it's kind of a lame orgy, because they should just be, I'm going to use a term from another podcast, they should just be full ball of snakes at that point.
Ball,
you know
of
what I
snakes.
Mean? Yeah, there's limbs and organs.
Tongues
and,
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's, if we're going to do an orgy, go all the way. You know what I mean?
Just fucking describe them as organs. That is the least hot way to describe
I'm
an orgy.
Yeah, well,
bring your organs over here, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get all up on that organ. Listen, I think there's worse ways to describe genitals, such as the word genital.
Well, that's just too clinical. You know what I mean? Organs is even further in that direction.
Yeah, but it's just weird enough that it can maybe almost be kinky.
No. For like the cannibals, maybe. I think that's when it gets kind of cool with them.
Okay.
My absurd is that they officially establish hoot and holler as a language in this movie. In the opening, it's like they just grunt and they hoot and holler, and that's just how they communicate.
Yeah, because it's not just language. Them communicating with each other, it's how they communicate with the other patients there.
That's how they speak. That's how they all speak. I feel like they brought that language and introduced it to the patients there. Everybody's like, wow, this is fucking groundbreaking.
And we're like, you know what? Yeah.
Hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
This is way more. This is the most fun I've had talking in a long time.
God, I don't have to think of words anymore. It's amazing.
Yeah, you just express how you feel, and it just kind of, I mean, that's kind of how Talia talks at us all the time.
Yeah.
Like, she'll go, "Urf." That's like, oh, that very serious.
Okay. Or like the other night when Talia got mad at Zoe, and we said, "Talia, be nice to Zoe," and Zoe went,
"Mah!" Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a holler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So what do you rate this thing?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to... Pitchfork's ready, folks. I'm going to give this an 8.75.
Whoa!
I love this movie. I think it's so much fun!
Thank you. I'm glad that you went there, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it... Dude, I'll match you. 8.75. Yeah! Let's fucking go there.
Yeah!
I didn't give my order of the movies before. Are we going to do like a recap of this one when we talk about all these? Like, we have our franchises?
I don't know. We'll figure that out in 2 or 3 years when I finally relent to talking about Wrong Turn 6 on air.
Okay, well, I will leave those out. In this order, Wrong Turn 1, 4, 2, 3.
So very similar to mine.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I think we have to rank 5, 6, and 2021 separately, because they're almost...
5 is below 3, and 6 and then 7. because 7 is just fucking awful.
I don't even want to call it 7 because it's like it's a full remake. Yeah. It's such a shift. Okay. Anyway, are we ready to talk about the shit?
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Okay.
So we start off at Glenville Sanitarium in West Virginia, 1974. Yeah. We've got Dr. Ryan, and he's bringing in somebody.
A woman.
And I was like, doctor, intern, therapist. At one point, he makes some sort of a comment about like your type of therapy. So I think maybe she's like a music or a therapist or something.
That'd be interesting if they were introducing that here.
Wasn't there some movie where they brought in, it was Orphan, the Orphan prequel.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, music therapist.
Yeah. So here's the thing, I love Dr. Ryan. The way the actor is portraying him, and I told Travis this while we were watching it. It feels very much like the opening of Malignant, where the doctor is very serious. And he's like, "Time to cut out the cancer. And that's the way this guy like talks, and he like overacts everything. This guy knows what fucking movie he's in, and I am here for it.
Maybe he was the one that pitched like, no, this is their language.
I bet he did.
They hoot and they holler at each other, and this is how they communicate.
And Declan O'Brien O'Connor was like, you're a doctor, so I believe you. And the actor was like, I'm not really a doctor. And he goes, you are now. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, he's explaining how the doors are like on a lock system and only one can be opened at a time, and it's safety. It's for patient safety. The ultimate goal is to rehab them and get them, you know, back in public interactions. And then as soon as he says that, one of the patients grabs her by the hair.
Yeah.
And actually steals her hairpin.
So, yeah, this is when he warns her. She's like, all right, these are the Hilliker brothers. They got that name because Miss Hilliker found them in the woods eating what we assume was their parents. And then right next to that, I have written in all caps, SMART. And I was trying to figure out why I said that.
It's because he said they're probably the smartest patients in the hospital.
They are smart. He's like so enthusiastic about it.
I like that you were looking over your notes and being like, oh, that is a smart way to name them.
So one of them, we get three fingers. He ate two of his fingers. Mm-hmm. He got hungry one day, I guess. Next one is one eye.
I like how they got a last name, but they don't get first names. Much like Vin D's baby in Fate of the Furious.
No names,
No name baby.
Well, it's not even their last name. Hilliker is just the name of the person that found them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. One eye, he ate his own eye. He got hungry too.
Yeah. Well, he stabbed it out first.
With a fork. Yeah.
And then Sawtooth was actually sawing his teeth up against the wall because he's got extra large teeth. I wish we'd seen some more of this extra large teeth action.
Don't really get much of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that
mostly all they did was give him a hair lip.
Yeah, that's what they gave him. But it was kind of funny. It's like, this guy, two fingers, eating this guy, ate his eye. This guy, it's got big teeth. Yeah. Like, just got big buck teeth.
Yeah, and apparently they've got congenital analgesia, which is often a result of a homogenous gene pool, aka inbreeding.
And then I like how she's like, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Country roads, if you will. Yeah, come on. So, let's see. The brothers demand the pin from the other patient once Dr. Ryan and the therapist walk past. I'm just going to start calling her Harley Quinn.
Pretty much, yeah.
And eventually they can, because he can't figure out how to unlock it, so they get the pin from him. And they are able to unlock it. And I can't watch people picking locks without thinking of playing, it was one of the Tom Clancy video games.
Rainbow Six?
No.
Splinter Cell?
Yeah, Splinter Cell. And there was like all of the lock picking and you actually like saw the inner mechanisms. So that's what I picture anytime I see lock picking in movies.
That is cool, yeah.
And they figure it out. They get out. They kill one of the orderlies, eat his nose.
Ooh.
And then they unleash everybody. And of course, we get a chaos montage set to Blue Danube.
Oh my God. I love the music choice for this. It is such a great way to like have the chaos and then this classical music over top of it.
And then I also feel like this is one of those where Declan O'Brien O'Connor was like, all right, chaos. And everybody's like, what? So, like, and it's very much like in a mob scene, like what we talked about last week.
Too many people, not sure what to do.
Yeah, so we get, like, some people are just having fun together, and then some people are just kind of like
twirling around.
Yeah. The brothers take this doctor, who's actually Dr. Quinn.
Yeah.
They take her, and they've decided that they hate her, despite all she said was that she wanted to work with them after Dr. Ryan said, don't bother dealing with them. She goes, no, I want to try and work with them. And they're like, ooh.
Yeah, they hated that.
Yeah,
they cart her into a room in a wheelchair, and they strap her into an electrical machine.
Which, like, we see later, there's footage that they were shocked.
You know who is the person that's shocking them in that footage?
Who?
Declan O'Brien O'Connor himself.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's the one shocking them.
But here's the other thing: is that why are they so mad about it if they don't feel pain?
Yeah, I feel like they would probably enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, maybe it fucks with like their actual like.
Like,
you know,
for
brain.
A minute, it does, like, make them feel pain. They're like, it brings them back into a different reality.
Oh, man, that would be interesting. So, yeah, they fry her to death.
Yeah, that's why I was calling her Harley Quinn. It's very similar. To,
and next we have the other doctor. He is...
Dr. Ryan.
Yeah, he is strapped up. They have him tied up in barbed wire. Where the fuck did they get the barbed wire? I don't know. But they've got him tied
up. All hospitals maintain a supply of barbed wire.
Apparently. They must have left it. It must have been left over there from when it was abandoned, apparently.
And these boys would get along with one John Kramer very well because they set up this feat of engineering very quickly.
I don't know why, but I thought you were going to say one John Cena. And I was going to be like, whoa.
It's because we started watching F9 last night.
John Cena was in it. That's right, yeah. I would like to see John Cena in a fast, or no, he isn't. I want to see him in a Wrong Turn movie. Okay, so
I just want to see him.
I did too. We'll watch it. Oh, because you can't see him. No, God, that went over my head.
It did.
Okay,
like how I completely missed him in Barbie. I literally didn't see him.
I can't believe you didn't see him. Okay, so he is tied up, all of his limbs barbed wire. They pull him apart. He gets dismembered.
He is drawn and quartered.
Yeah, he is dead.
And this guy, he hands up his death, too. Like, he goes, like, full cross-eyed as he's screaming. I love him. Yeah. I need more of this guy in my life.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
All right. Weston University, 2003. There is a fuck session going on.
Mm-hmm.
We get, God, who is this? This is Vincent and...
Vincent and Jenna.
Jenna and Sarah and Bridget.
Like, honestly, this is pornographic. Like,
dude, it's playing like softcore porn here.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how Vincent isn't penetrating Jenna with the way, like, how naked they are and how they're positioned.
Well, I think in some cases when they simulate sex like that, they actually have, like, pieces over there to, like, block it.
I hope they were, because she was, like, grinding on him and she was full nakes.
Oh, yeah, she was full nakes. I think he probably would. Too, right? I mean,
yeah, there's a very carefully draped blanket, and that's the only thing I can think of, but
I mean,
and then we got Bridget and Sarah over there.
you I can tell that they were fully simulating, because like she was pretending like she was going down on her, but her head was like nowhere near far down enough. I guess if they're on their knees,
it was very Tommy Wiseau, like
what's the anatomy of the situation?
So well, because that one's even, like, because how do you get your face that close to... hers, I think we probably... No, because we get a side shot of her. I was going to say, I feel like Shitegaro's actress could have had on unders, but...
No, she didn't.
She didn't.
You see her booty.
Yeah, we see her butt later.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
All right.
We got lots of friendship sex bonding.
Yeah.
Kenya? And then Kenya comes in and calls them slut monkeys and rabbits and says that they need to be in her car in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Naked or not. She doesn't say that far, but it's kind of implied. No. That's why she gives them such a short deadline, so they don't have time to get dressed.
They try and get her to join.
It. Yeah.
They're like, won't you join? She's like, I don't think Bridget will like that. And Bridget's like, I don't mind. Boy, that could have got even more hot. Yeah. I think Declan O'Brien was like, we're on a 19-day schedule. I want to go there, but we don't have time to go there. Yeah.
All
right. So we cut to them at some snowy area. They have all arrived there at
the
snowmobiles.
They just park their cars, and then Chaperone Daniel says, can we just leave our cars here?
Yeah. Wasn't there a sign saying no parking?
I don't know.
I think
there was so much nothing was happening. It was just chaos, and I was trying to take notes that made sense, because that's the first 20 minutes of this movie. He is just vaguely organized chaos.
I agree with him, though. I worry about that shit all the time, too. Like, can I park here? I was worried about that last night whenever we were parked up against the other building when we went for dinner. So this is one of my funny thing that happened. So they all snowmobile away, but one of them is on a snowboard. And I didn't see him holding on to the snowmobile, so I thought he was just going up a hill. Just on his own, like not going down a hill.
He was doing a real life Tony Hawk pro skater.
Yeah.
I wrote down in this, like, I know what you're thinking. Looks like a Noxzema commercial or something, because it's just a bunch of attractive teenagers and Daniel. He's attractive. He's just also not very clearly not a teenager.
Yeah.
And they're just like hanging out in the snow, having fun, beautiful skin, beautiful hair. Their hair is gonna remain perfect for the rest of the movie, by the way. Despite what they go through, they're going to be chased. They're going to be bloodied. The only person whose hair gets messed up from that is Kyle. And honestly, I think it's an improvement on his style.
Kyle, he was true to the era, though.
He was.
I actually think I had that same hairstyle whenever I was that age.
It was
not that age, but back in that time.
It was very swoopy. Not quite emo, but like close to it. And he is the one who says he's been to Porter's cabin plenty of times, and it's definitely a right here. And everybody else is like, pretty sure we're supposed to go left. He goes, no, it's a right. And then, don't worry, somebody does say it. I feel like we're taking a wrong turn.
Yeah. But I forgot to mention that Porter, one of the guys that they're hanging with, apparently went ahead to the cabin to warm it up for them.
And you cannot convince me that they didn't name him Porter so that way they couldn't make a joke about Porter House later.
Ah, oh, damn. That is really good.
There's no way that Declan O'Brien O'Connor wasn't writing his script and going, what's a good name? I have to come up with 25 names because I've put so much cannon fodder in this movie. What's a good name for one of them? Oh, Porter, so I can say Porter House. There we go.
Do you think
that sounds like a rich kid asshole name, and it also sounds like a steak.
Yeah, you're probably right, honestly. Okay, so they are lost. Temperatures are dropping. It's getting late. Mm-hmm. But they find a big old building. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, we found shelter.
They're like, I feel like I see something over there. It's just like a giant-ass building.
Yeah, I know. It's just this big-ass sanitarium. Isn't it also funny that they're like, oh, cool, let's just go hang out there. And they're not worried at all about Porter, who's just like,
I think missing. Porter's at his cabin because he supposedly went ahead to get everything set up.
Okay.
And they
they
get in there, and we do see somebody being dragged in by the Hilliker Bros afterwards.
And it's Porter.
And it is Porter, we later find out, which we also assume in this moment. But yeah. So they get in there and they're surprised to see that the water's running, and they're like, they must have a maintenance crew come out and run the water so the pipes don't freeze. And everybody's like, this place is a disaster. There is no maintenance crew coming here. Oh well. And that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. So they started exploring around, just checking the place out.
And to be fair, they were concerned about Porter. They wanted to call him, but they don't have signal because it's 2003 and that's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. All right. So they go exploring around. Mm-hmm. Daniel leads off. The rest follow. They find Dr. Brennan Ryan's office, and he left behind a mess. They find a bunch of patient files.
And they also find a bottle of scotch that was 30 years old 30 years ago.
Whoa, so it's extra aged. Yeah, now.
And these kids do not appreciate it for what it is.
They are like just straight up chugging, like water falling with a bottle.
Yeah. Also, that's not going to last very long around that many kids.
No, it's not.
It's absolutely not.
So
they go looking through rooms.
Yep.
Vincent disappears at one point, and he scares Kenya and Jenna. And Kenya's like, this is the thing with your pranks, Vincent, is that you don't consider how it hurts other people's feelings. And they just wanted to establish that quick and hard, so that way when he disappeared later, nobody takes it seriously. But that ends up being a fucking nothing of a plot point, because Daniel's the one that gets fondunioled.
Oh, so you're right. Oh, dude, that would have been way better if it was him. Yes. Yeah, because they're like, oh, is he fucking with us?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But that's not what ends up happening.
Oh, damn it. They fucked that up.
We get some casual stalking.
Casual socking. Yeah, the boys are socking around. Mm-hmm. Vincent is like, okay, I feel like this place has to have a generator. So he offers to go find it since everybody's kind of pissed at him.
Yeah. And he goes downstairs and he starts it up. It's incredibly easy to start up a generator for a 2,500 square foot building, apparently.
Isn't it interesting that the hillbillies have been staying at this place for so long and they just have never turned on the power, apparently?
Well, if they don't feel pain, I assume that also...
Don't feel...
Yeah.
Yeah. How do they know when they're hungry? Did they just eat?
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely an eat out of boredom kind of thing.
Okay.
And I'm sure they do feel like a need to survive. Like, they need the fuel to keep moving at some point.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so they got the power on. That means party's on.
You don't do human fondue for survival purposes, Travis.
Well, that is when you're bored. Yeah. Just because they were snowed in, it was a snowstorm, so they had to entertain
themselves. Who taught them about fondue?
Dude, they're not uncivilized. You know what I mean?
Well, they've been in this hospital since they were 8, 9, and 10 years old.
But they've been to the city. they had like that one. They're like Amish people. Like they like had Rumspringa. They partied for like a minute and they're like, okay, the cannibal life is more for
yeah
me.
That's yeah, I'm gonna go back to my roots. It's not much, but it's honest.
Exactly. Yeah. So okay, power's on, party's on, they are all having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Boys are watching through a two-way mirror though.
Yep.
And then this all leads up to them all wheelchairing into the auditorium. Mm-hmm. Doing like a wheelchair race type thing. Daniel has found a movie reel. Or not Daniel, one of the girls, I can't remember which one. Bridget, let's just say Bridget.
I didn't write down who it was.
So she found one of the, like a movie reel, so they go to a projector, because apparently they have a giant-ass projector there. They start playing
the auditorium and screen, so.
That's true. So they start playing the movie. It is footage of experimental testing that was going on back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's black and white footage. Declan O'Brien O'Connor is over there shocking, is it the boys?
I think it's one eye.
Okay.
And then Lauren says she remembers the stories from up here and how her brother used to scare her talking about the cannibals in this area and how they were at this hospital and they escaped and that they were going to come get me every time we drove past.
Yeah. So that's when Daniel's like, all right, it's time to go to bed. So
yeah. He's like, I am horny. Let's go fuck in some beds that haven't been cleaned in almost half a century.
Dusty old beds.
Yeah.
Boy, are my allergies going to be going.
Yeah. Now, these kids are going to be absolutely perfect when they wake up the next morning. Okay. Not a hair out of place for them.
Nope. We get Vincent wakes up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't sleep. I'm going to go explore. And his girlfriend's like, okay. Like,
she's like, whatever.
That's like such a weird thing to do. Like, I'm just going to go explore.
I mean, I guess, like, if you can't sleep, you know?
I guess something. So. They can't go anywhere else. So
I think that's
around.
Probably unrealistic. I think mostly he'd been like, I can't sleep. Can you please, like, give me a handy or something? That'll so relax me, babe. Please.
That would be what he would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And she would say no.
So really, like, what's happening is that Shonskis, is that his name?
Shonskis? No, that's Kyle. That's who that is. Oh, no, you're right. No, it is Vincey. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so Shonskis was like, hey, I can't sleep. Wink, wink. I got to go explore, aka put on my prosthetics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what actually happened.
I got to get removed from the movie because I got to turn into Three Finger now.
Yeah.
So on his way to exploring, he stumbles upon Sarah and Bridget, who are fucking. And, you know, that's just like a thing that's happened.
Yeah, this is the one that's on it. Somehow it's more fetishy than the group sex in the beginning.
I think it's because he's perving on him.
Yeah.
And she's into it. Like, she sees him do that and she winks at him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's, like, a whole thing going on there.
I feel like Declan O'Brien O'Connor hasn't heard of scissoring, though, because he just keeps having them go down on each other.
They just like oral, apparently. You know, that's their jam.
Just saying.
So he keeps walking, and he stumbles upon a body in an office, and he figures out it's Porter. So he walks up to him and turns around. Porter's dead. Mm-hmm. So he turns around, and...
He gets stabbed right through the head.
Is it Sawtooth?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah. Stabs him right in the head. Shish kebabs him.
Yeah.
All right. So
the next morning, they can't find Vincent.
You know what's ridiculous about this? Like, they're all like, where's Vincent? And everybody's like, I don't know. And then, like, Sarah comes in and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I've been running. Where the fuck's she been running?
She said the night before that she was going to do stairs in the morning, and everybody else had been smoking and drinking, and they're like, no, absolutely, we're not going to
do that. She said she was doing stairs?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that completely. All right, that makes a lot more sense.
And she is in really good shape.
She is in very good shape, so. But I just thought it was funny. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go for a run.
Yeah. So, yeah, they are like, well, let's just go find him. All of their stuff is gone, which, listen, cannibals aside, people really do just, like, chill in abandoned buildings. We watch a lot of videos about this kind of stuff. That would be an actual real concern, is that your shit could be stolen by somebody who's squatting in this giant building and assuming, you know, that they can think of it as their home, and then a bunch of horny fucks come in and destroy things for a little bit.
It's a big ass building, man. There's a lot of room for people.
Like,
so.
And what if the squatter was in there and was like, I don't know how to operate a generator. What do I do to keep this responsibly running when you guys leave? You have left me with so much ownership that I now have to take still. Care of.
Like, that's why I stole the stuff. It's yeah. Like, all right, I'm gonna steal stuff that way they can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, they like,
I need you guys
anymore.
To teach me how to use the generator.
Yeah, because he doesn't know how to like communicate that because he just hoots and hollers.
Yeah, because he only knows the hoot and holler language. Yeah. So the group, they split up and they're like, we're gonna meet in the auditorium in 30 minutes. So the basement group finds tools in a cage and like 50 clogs.
Yeah, there's so many clogs here. What the fuck is up with that?
And it's like. And at first, when he's like, whoa, guys, look at this. I was like, I know it's a lot of clocks, but he's actually referring to all the tools.
Yeah.
It took me an embarrassing amount of time to figure out what was happening.
And the other crew are up there, and they find Porter's body was. They see the blood stain.
Yeah, and because they don't know Porter's been there, they assume it's Vincent. So they're a little bit concerned. Vince's girlfriend, Jenna. I didn't know her name at this point. Mm. She sees Porter being prepped to be eaten, and so she tries to run back to the rest of the group. Everybody else is convened in the auditorium, and she is trying to tell everybody that they're in danger when all of a sudden Porter's jacket is bundled up and tossed in the middle of the group, and when they undo the jacket, they discover his head inside, and that's when, like, everything's happening!
Yeah,
and then
suddenly a noose comes out of nowhere and gets one of them. I can't remember which one it was.
I don't think she's a short-haired blonde woman.
Let's see. It must have been... Dude, I don't even know if I wrote her down here.
Right?
Honestly, I don't think I did.
I literally don't think we ever got a name for her. But she's Kyle's girlfriend.
Yeah.
She gets the barbed wire noose that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
he's like trying to stop her. And at a certain point, it's like...
Just give up, man.
Literally just killing her. But also, it's probably better than her being eaten alive. So,
I guess
and one, half dozen the other. So,
yeah, he pulls on the legs to try and free her and decapitates her. Blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, they run off.
So, where am I at? Shot with bloody boyfriend.
Okay, they run out to the snowmobiles. Because they were trying to go get away.
Oh, I was making a note about the Evil Dead shot.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's what that note is. Okay.
So, okay. They run outside.
Yeah.
They're trying to get onto the snowmobiles, but one of them has the spark plugs missing. Actually, they all do.
It's not the spark plugs, which is what they say in this. Later, it's the spark plug wires.
Oh, spark plug wires, yeah.
I don't know the difference between the two, and I don't know if it matters, but it does change from here till later in the movie.
I don't think that they actually know. I think that they're just saying things. They don't know how this shit works. They don't know how to repair a snowmobile.
Yeah.
It must be the spark plugs.
Yeah, they're like, clearly, anytime a thing doesn't work, it's because of the spark plugs. Yeah. Also, there was a point last night where I was trying to write down snowmobile, couldn't think of the word, and I looked at Travis and I said, what are those called? And he said, they're not jet skis, which is kind of scary because I was going to write snow jet ski.
Well,
and he had
like
no
them.
Way of knowing that I was going to write that.
Yeah, they're snowmobiles. Snow jet skis.
So yeah, they point out that they don't have jackets either, so it's not like they can really continue on foot. They decide they're going to run inside and hole up in that office they were in before.
But one of them, there is one jacket, and Lauren takes it, and she's like, okay, I'm not staying here. I'm going to go get help.
She's like, I'm the strongest skier. I will get down the hill, and I will go for help.
Yeah, so they don't fight her on it, so she goes. And then, yeah, that's when Daniel's like, okay, we got to go back in there and fight. We got to go find things to fight back with them.
Yeah. So Kyle, Sarah, and Daniel decide that they're going to go to the basement for those tools. That way they've got something to protect themselves with. While Bridget, Kenya, and...
Sarah.
Sarah went downstairs.
Jenna.
Jenna. They stay upstairs. Then we get what I think is a Slumber Party Massacre 2 reference with the drill through the door.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think you're right. I got big Slumber Party Massacre, just like the first one, too, with just with a giant drill. Because, I mean, what if he had an actual guitar drill?
I would love that. But that it just it makes me think of, like, that scene where he's singing Let's Buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, what it makes me think of. No, right down to the, like, clearly cardboard door and everything.
Don't even give me the guitar. Just give me like a little like shimmy, like a little jig down the hallway while he's like got the little drill, you know.
I was gonna try and holler to Let's Buzz, but I don't have that in me right now.
Oh, it's okay. Okay, so as the other three are going down to get the tools, Three Fingers chasing them with an axe,
And Daniel gets grabbed as they get back upstairs, and they don't realize until Sarah and Kyle have gotten back up there that he's not behind them. So he is being tied to a table. That's what we see. And then we cut to the office where they realize that he's not back. He's not coming, and they argue about what the plan is. And Bridge is like, we need to leave. They're using him as bait. He's clearly already dead.
I love how she immediately jumps like, well, he is dead, so we do not need to go after him. And the other's like, well, he might not be dead. He's like, no.
And then they hear screaming, and he's like, help! Help me, please. Friends, friends, help me, please. Please help me, friends. And so she's like, I think we should vote because I still think he's almost dead. And
if you're my friend, help me.
And she says, all in favor of staying here, and it's just her hand, and all in favor of rescuing Daniel, and everybody else's hands go up, and they look at him, and then Martin from My Bloody Valentine 3D just comes up from the shadows, and he just looks at her disappointingly.
Must be Axel's sister. I love the thought that they even entertained the idea of taking a vote, right?
Like they did it just to make her feel as shitty as possible. Honestly, if she didn't die near the end of this movie, I think Sarah would have broken up during. She was like, you have no loyalty.
Yeah, she showed her true colors.
Yeah, she's getting very, like, very disgusted with her as this goes on.
Yeah. So, okay, the boys are cutting up Daniel hard.
Yeah.
They are taking out chunks of skin.
Yeah, they're taking some titty, some thigh. Mm-hmm.
Some liver.
Well, they save the liver for last because, like, once it becomes clear that the friends are not going to help him, he's like, please just kill me. Please just kill me. You can eat me after I'm dead. I don't even care. Just kill me. So they rip open his rib cage, and then they yank out his liver, which apparently is deadly. Immediately,
so. I think that combined with everything the shock. Honestly, this whole scene is very upsetting, though. It is terrifying just seeing this shit.
Yeah,
I was putting myself in his shoes there. Like, what would I, like my friends abandoned me? They're not my friends anymore. They obviously don't give a shit.
He's like, and I bet our cars were towed.
Yeah, I bet the spark plugs actually did work. And I love how they make it downstairs and they're like, they don't even rush in. Kyle's like, all right, I'm going to go get some recon.
So they all voted that they're going to go help him. And Kyle's like, wait, let me go see what's happening. And Kyle goes in there, sees them like fondunuling him, but he doesn't see the Hannibal Lectering of it. So he goes back and they're like, all right, we're going to go in there. So after Daniel's already dead, they come in, they get the jump on the
but
brothers.
Not even then. They're like, they have to formulate a plan first. Yeah. So she's like, all right, we're not going to go in there without having a plan. We're going to die. Thankfully, I have a plan.
Yeah. So they get the jump on him, they chase, they run, and they end up locking the brothers in their old cell.
I like that it was the exact same cell.
Yeah. Well, and it ends up becoming important later. So, before that, one of the brothers chokes on one of Daniel's fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And the other brothers do not know basic Heimlich, and they just kind of swat at him.
Yeah. That's a little slapstick there.
It's so funny because they're just like.
See, I feel like that's. Maybe they did watch Three Stooges growing up.
Yeah, maybe. Because
that felt like a Three Stooges moment right there.
That's how one eye actually took out his eye. Because he was.
Oh, he's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, damn. Wow, we're building the wall here.
I'm telling you, it's going to be in their MTV Cribs episode.
Yeah, because we're going to make it.
Yeah.
We're making the next Wrong Turn. Okay, so they're all locked in.
Yeah.
Kyle is going to keep watch while they all try and find the spark plugs.
First, we have a quick cut to Lauren in the woods, and I need to talk about it because this fucking dummy took off her gloves.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad call. Well, she had to make a fire. She makes a tiny, modest little fire.
And then she doesn't put her gloves back on, and she's holding her hands over this fire, and then snow falls on top of her, on top of the fire, and on top of her hands, and now she's definitely going to get frostbite, and then she just starts crying and kind of keels over in the snow, and that's where we find her dead later.
Is that where she dies?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought
I'm
she made sure. it a little bit further.
Because she was, because the irony was that she was so close to the road.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think this is where she just gave up.
Okay. I love how, like, the movie just kind of forgets about her. Like, every now and then it's like, oh, yeah, and I guess we should update on Lauren.
So, okay. Kyle says he wants to light the brothers on fire, and he's getting ready to do it, and they talk him out of it. They're like, listen, that's not a thing that you can undo. Like, as a human, you can't undo murder. And so he's like, all right, fine, we'll just take turns watching them.
It's fucking self-defense, man. I think it's called for. I think it's justified in this sense.
So the others decide that they're going to go look for the spark plug wires. And they'll leave in the morning, no matter what. Kyle's going to stay on guard first while they search. And he tells the brothers, as soon as the women are out of earshot, that he is going to murder them. He's going to say that he forgot something. He's going to come back in. He's going to light them on fire. And so they're dying. And then he doesn't pay any attention to Three Finger reaching into the toilet and pulling out the hairpin.
You should have just fucking lit him on fire right there. Just fucking do it, dude, if you're going to do it. He falls asleep. They all fall asleep looking for the spark plug wires. So they're like, whatever, let's just fall asleep and try again in the morning. And yeah, while he is asleep, they
unlock
the pin again from the tub.
They splinter cell it. No, it's their toilet. It's the toilet.
Yeah. And yeah, they pick the lock and then they grab him.
They punch him first. They wake him up with punch.
Okay, so the girls are in the room. And they hear somebody running down the hall, and they peek through the drill hole.
What an insult to Kyle, because they're like, it's the small one!
Yeah, I know. They were doing backhead Jason with him. They even changed his clothes, I thought. Like, he had, like, a flannel on.
Yeah.
It was a callback,
they swapped
for sure.
him out. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I really feel like I wish we could have seen more from Declan O'Brien O'Connor, because it feels like he's got a lot of love for this side of the genre.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
And you know what? I bet he would have loved my whole relating this to Friday the 13th Part 2 and wondering how Jason knows how to do toilets in a wood shack.
I think you're right.
You know, I feel like he would appreciate that.
How do they? So the guy's not talking, he's just making grunts, which I understand that. You know, it's kind of hooting and hollering in a sense.
He's been inducted. Yeah. He's been initiated.
Yeah, what would they call him? He's got his tongue missing, like no tongue. Is that his hillbilly name?
I don't know, I just finished rereading Conquer Games, so I'm just like, Avox says.
Okay. okay. So they're like, okay, let's just go out there. Like, there's three of us, one of him, he's a small one, we can fucking take him. So they all charge
they
him.
Don't question how easy it is to stab him.
And he's running away, man.
And they just keep stabbing him.
So
stab, stab,
much,
stab.
Dude.
So many stabs.
Like, his body becomes liquid.
Yeah.
At a certain point, they pulverize him into a fucking juice.
Yeah.
And they take the bag off, and they realize it's Kyle.
Yeah. And then they're chased by the brothers who are hiding out and waiting with the drill.
Yep.
The front door has been chained up because, in addition to barbed wire, hospitals keep chains and padlocks ready at all times.
Of course.
So they go to find their way out. They head to the attic and they find the brothers' like base camp, I guess. This is where they prefer to stay. And there's a pile of coats suggesting that they are not the first people that have wound up here lost in the snow.
Yeah. So they put on the coats and they bust out a window before locking the door with a piece of wood.
Yeah, that's, you know, what you do in a horror movie. Yeah. You use a small piece of plywood.
Yeah, like a 2x4.
Yeah.
So they bust out a window and they started digging through the snow to try and get out to the top.
Sarah goes through first. I love it. She stabs the snow a few times and then realizes that's too slow. And then she's digging through.
Yeah.
And she gets through, and then Bridget comes through, and then Kenya. Jenna is attacked as she's coming through, and she's being pulled, and she gets drilled through. Kenya. I'm sorry, Kenya. Kenya is an ANTM contestant.
Oh, okay.
So Kenya sees this happen. She gets pulled out and she's all bloody. So they go running. The brothers obviously chase them. They have had the spark plug wire tube things this yes. whole time.
Yeah.
Because they're able to work the snow jet skis. So Sarah drops her weapon at some point. So she's like, I'm going to go get it. The brothers come sneak up on Bridget and Kenya, and they grab Bridget and stab Kenya. And when Sarah comes back, she's like, let me tie a tourniquet to your arm, and then I'm going to go look for Bridget. And Bridget is just being sanded to death by the belt under the snowmobile.
Yeah.
It's gnarly.
It is a pretty good kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just
so much blood.
So much blood. So just Sarah and Kenya. I don't know how much time has passed, but like some time has passed.
It's looks like daylight. It's probably the next morning.
Yeah. They've apparently made a plan.
Yes. So we see Lauren has frozen to death, ironically close to the road.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she died the night before, because she is like fully frozen over.
Okay.
Very like Jack Torrance.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Kenya is like running through the snow, and it seems like she's alone, and she's like saying, somebody help, please help, Sarah, where are you? A snowmobile approaches, and guess what? Sarah was in hiding, yeah. And she hits the driver, knocks him off the snowmobile, and they take the snowmobile, and we've got this beautiful, like, slow, victorious music as the sun is rising, and these friends are riding through the snow, and it's a nice, beautiful moment, and you feel very hopeful, and then Kenya goes, no! And then they are both beheaded.
Yeah, it's like...
it's so abrupt.
Yeah, it's shocking, honestly. It's crazy how it just ends like that. So, yeah, the snowmobile keeps driving, and we see truck pulls up. It's the tow truck.
Yeah, Three-Finger grabs their heads.
Yep, grabs their heads, puts them in the truck. On his day's work, he's got the bodies. They're about to make some head stew.
And a song called Wrong Turn plays, so yep. See the credits.
They lean full into the Wrong Turn.
And that's what you gotta do with this franchise.
Yeah.
You gotta lean into it. Fuck it, man. I love this movie. I'm a fucking nine. Fucking nine.
Nine. Okay, fuck yeah. Let's do nine
series. Yeah.
This is nine series.
So, Talia.
Oh boy, Talia.
We were getting ready to watch the movie. Talia was getting very hyped. She was playing with toys. And Travis said, are you ready to watch Wrong Turn 4? Except the problem was that she was mid-yawn when he said that. And she smashed her mouth shut.
It was very slow, actually. It was like she was getting ready to do the yawn. She's like, and then she, like, right before she got to the peak of it, it just kind of died. And she just slowly closed her mouth.
No, she swallowed it back in. Because you were like, are you ready to watch some fucking Wrong Turn 4? And you know what? She did watch it.
She went, yeah.
She is, because there's a lot of snow. She loves snow.
Not before going out to...
our actual snow.
Yeah, like many times. It was we forgot to mention, we watched this as it was snowing outside.
Yeah.
It was very immersive.
Yeah.
I feel like Declan did that for us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, need to have this as an immersive experience.
Yeah, it was a way to honor him on the anniversary of his death.
Yeah.
We did toast to him. So.
We did, yeah, man. Okay.
So I think Talia gives it a 9.
Talia likes it.
Yeah.
And Zoe watched?
She was in and out. It was kind of weird. I'd say she was almost half and half.
No.
So, like, it was just, yeah, it's a little bit weird for her. She was in a weird, weird place with it, with everything last night.
All right. So, who did you relate to?
Who did I relate to? I guess I probably related to Lauren, because I also sleep with my hair braided.
And you freeze to death all the time.
All the time. I'm not the strongest skier. And I also can't light a fire on my own. But I do braid my hair. So that's who I'm going to relate to.
She's the one that had pigtails, right?
Yeah.
Those pigtails look nice. They look nice on you, too. I related to Daniel because I would be stressed out about my car getting towed just like he was at the beginning of the movie. Okay. All right, dream sequel. So we've already set it up.
This, yeah.
So we're going to do a mockumentary of Wrong Turn. It's going to follow the hillbillies.
I don't want it to be about the cannibalism. I just want the rest of their everyday life.
Just a day-to-day. Like,
yeah.
The cannibalism is happening as they're there, but it's not the focus.
I want to see them like making repairs to their home and like studying automobile mechanics, and
maybe one of them's going to trade school.
I want
to
see Three Finger shaving his face with, like, I don't know, like his own fingernail shaving or something that's extra sharp.
Oh, like, it's like the dude's tooth.
Yeah,
that's how he's shaving.
Sawtooth. That's why Sawtooth is the only one with a beard.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Dude, it's all coming together. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Like this would be like a great mockumentary slasher right there. You gotta get some killing in there too.
Yeah, but like just in a very like non-consequential kind of way. Like, oh, it's just a thing that happens. You know? Yeah, it's just, we gotta eat. You know,
I feel like they like make pelts out of the people and they sell it at a flea market.
Yes,
dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to see them. I want to see them at the farmer's market.
It's gonna happen, man. Yeah, we gotta make this thing.
I want, and like they interview some random person who always comes to the farmer's market, and they're like, yeah, everybody kind of. You don't make eye contact at the booth because if you do, you have to buy something. And we don't know what their jackets are made of. It is a weird leather.
Like, I've tried haggling with those guys, but they don't even, like, speak.
Yeah.
They just kind of, like, giggle and yell at me. And,
yeah.
Like, I just kind of, like, give them some money and they're generally happy with that experience.
Yeah.
All right. So, new tagline.
He came up with one last night, but I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember what it was either.
Oh! Fight and fright and freeze.
Fight and fright and freeze.
No, fight and flight and freeze.
Fight and flight and freeze.
Because they did all of those.
They did, yeah.
When they were confronted with an emergency. They fought, they froze, they fled.
I'm going to do a checkbox.
Yeah.
All of those.
Fight,
fight, flight, freeze.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, so time for reviews.
Okay.
So I went with a different route this time. I went with the Blu-ray.com review. Because they actually give actual movie reviews for all their Blu-rays.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what they said. Wrong Turn 4 is so mechanically prescribed, worthless, and devoid of originality that it makes the Sorority Row remake look like Roman Polanski's Repulsion in comparison.
I also love the Sorority Row remake.
I do too. Part of the audience for this type of shit, apparently. At least Wrong Turn 3 had a plot, an extraordinarily stupid one, but a plot nonetheless. Whereas Bloody Beginnings is just another excuse to see horny young adults mutilated and murdered in increasingly creative ways.
That's what you come to these movies
I
for!
I know! Hold on, it gets better. I'm almost surprised these kinds of films haven't gone the porn route. Dispensing with a story altogether and getting straight to the good stuff. Granted, there are some pretty gruesome kills here, if that's your thing. Drill impalements, barbed wire decapitations, a flesh fondue party. But good gore does not a good movie make.
Dude, I want to watch the Tubi original movie, Flesh Fondue Party.
Anyway, continue. Dude, another movie. We got to make that movie too. All right, and to cap off the whole, that was his part of the movie, but to cap off like the Blu-ray, everything, extras, they say, how and why are more Wrong Turn films being made? I have no idea, but hopefully the franchise ends here. Although Bloody Beginnings probably isn't the worst entry in the series, that honor goes to part three. It's hardly worth recommending to any besides the most undiscriminating horror fans. You can certainly do better for pre-Halloween entertainment, unless you're some kind of Wrong Turn apologist, and a few of those do exist in the wild. Avoid this one at all costs.
I feel called out, but I also feel a strange kinship because he also doesn't like part three.
I'm the apologist. I'm the person I felt called out by that right there, because I'm the one that's like, you know what? Wrong Turn, all good. Like, they're all entertaining in their own right, except for like the later few ones. But he gave the overall rating for the Blu-ray, the movie, video, sound, everything, 2 out of 5. But the video and sound was good.
That's a 4 out of 10.
Yeah. The extras kind of lack in there, and he just hated the movie. So, yeah.
Okay.
2 out of 5. Not too bad.
That makes me feel better that we just have a digital copy instead of the actual DVD, since it sounds like there weren't a lot of extras.
No, it's about the same that's on our DVDs. I looked at what he had. I think this guy just kind of hates the fucking movie, honestly.
It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, because those are the things that I do. Like you said, like, that's the things that I enjoy. Like,
I honestly, like, watching this, I've always loved this one. Watching it for the show made me love it even more, and it made me have, like, this is how we discovered Declan O'Brien had passed, because I was like, I want to learn more about who this man is.
Yeah.
After, like, taking all these notes, I was like, I feel like he definitely is a horror nerd. And I also wondered if maybe he was like LGBT in some way. He kept all women at the end, and he had lesbians in a way that wasn't more fetishy than the rest of the sex scenes in this movie. And I was just like, I don't know, maybe he just is. And so I went to look it up, and that's when we discovered he had passed. And
yeah, he seemed like a good dude.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, we're just wrong-turn apologists.
We are. That's us.
Some of it, anyway.
Okay, well, we'll see if we've got any more out there.
I was going somewhere else with that, and I can't remember where.
It's all good. All right, let's go to the listener reviews.
Okay.
So first off, we have Tyler over on Twitter. Tyler says, this movie was so stupid and fun. Lots of dumb characters in it who make questionable choices, but I love that. Love the lesbian representation as well.
Yes.
Even though it was over-sexual at times, they were a real couple. Love a winter slasher, too. The ending was evil. So yeah, he like straight up agrees with exactly what you were saying.
All of my points. Yeah. We've got winter, we've got a bummer ending, we've got lesbians. Yeah. I love all of those things.
Yeah, it was all fantastic. Yes. I liked all of those things too. All right, over on Instagram, we have JW Crump of Podweedom.
I bet he loves this movie.
JW says, there are some surprisingly interesting shots in this. That's all I said there.
That's all you said.
Okay, there's more. I replied saying I definitely noticed that during our watch too. I said it's pretty well put together, all things considered. And then he said, like it's bad, but it's hey, we tried bad.
Okay, well.
Yeah. I can see JW enjoying this one just from like our experiences with him.
Like things I've heard him say on their show and everything. It sounds like he generally likes the same vein of movies as us. So.
And final review is Cube Saves, who says we need more good snowy horror movies. This one gets a pass.
I do think that this one's a good one because it's like it doesn't feel contrived to be like we want to set this in snow, so how do we set it in snow? Even though that is kind of what they were going for with it, it just feels very like this is an element that we're dealing with on top of all the rest of the shit, which is it's a big thing with the Wrong Turn movies, is that you've got some other element of survival happening and also cannibals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it's the reason why they're stuck there mostly, but you know,
yeah,
like it plays a big part.
Yeah,
it's part of the atmosphere. It's nice. The movie has a great atmosphere all around.
Yes.
Okay, so that's it for the reviews, which means that is it for this week's episode.
Okay, so next week we are Saw 3D.
Mm-hmm. Part of the original end of the series.
And for our budget tier patrons, Scream Queens 2 review.
That's right, so, yeah.
Not sure exactly when that'll be out, some point next week.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Yeah. And, oh, to watch Saw 3D. Once again, I implore you, just buy the whole fucking 52-pack at Walmart for $6 and a penny.
Seriously, they're selling them now with Saw X in them now, too. So you can get all of them out there.
But if you don't want to do that, for whatever reason, we have a really cool case once again from the closure of Blockbuster, but it is a really cool case. You can currently watch it by renting it. So you're gonna pay for this movie one way or the other.
Oh,
y'all.
No, it's for free on some places.
I just have YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, and Prime all rentals.
It's on the Roku channel.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a Roku, you can watch it on the Roku channel. I don't know if Roku channel is available on non-Roku devices.
I would assume not.
DirecTV is also one, and Stars on Apple TV.
Okay, so things that you have to pay extra money for.
Yeah, unless you have a Roku, you know, then that's, or DirecTV, which I don't know many people that actually have DirecTV anymore. All right, so watch it there. Catch up with us. We will be having a good time talking about that.
Yes. And if you think that we're going to apologize for Saw 3D, you are absolutely correct.
Got another thing coming. We either love the shit that we love or
crazy,
hate it.
Crazy, yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right. You got that?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for our patrons. We've got Joe.
Freakatron.
As is his name. See you tomorrow, bud.
Yeah.
Amber and Michael, thank you guys so much for supporting the show financially. It helps us get equipment, helps us keep the lights on. If you want to show support for the show in non-financial ways, you don't even have to download an extra app. Just whatever you're listening on, give us a review, just a little number, click a star, whatever. Whatever the system allows for that you're listening on. If you want to go an extra mile, you can also leave a written comment. Hey, that's helpful.
It's making a difference. I saw us for the first time yesterday on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
as a
you may also like.
Yeah, we were down there. So yeah. that happened because you guys have been.
Yeah, when you do that, when you follow us, when you rate us, it does help. It helps the algorithm. So it's making a difference and we appreciate that. Yeah. And the more that we're able to do that, the more we can devote to the show. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun for us, too. It is. So we like being here. You can find us on social media. We're on Twitter and Blueski, at Least Fave Pod. And we're on Instagram and Threads, at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. You can also find our website, which is leastfavoritescarymovie.com. And you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And once again, I say this occasionally. If you're thinking of starting your own podcast, choose a fucking shorter name.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That is the advice I give everybody.
Yeah.
Choose a fucking short name.
We're too far into it at this point to change it.
We branded hard early on.
Take our wisdom.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, cool. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Sorry, that was just a yawn.
No, I know. You're good.